The CEO of the Illinois Policy Institute, John Tillman's on the line. Morning, John. How are you? Good?
I'm doing great, Tom. Thanks for having me on this morning.
You know, I'm curious. Well, how is the conservative movement in Illinois? What do you think its health is now when you see that the Democrats are in control of every state office, supermajority in the Senate and the House? How do you define the conservative status in Illinois right now?
I think it's stronger than it's ever been, despite those electoral outcomes, and here's why. First of all, conservative ideas almost took out a sitting liberal Republican governor in the primary, which I think is very interesting. And the second thing I think is interesting is that the Democrat wins were more the nature of the federal elections, the nature of Trump, and frankly, the lack of investment in political infrastructure by the Republican Party here in Illinois is why there were such sweeping Democrat victories. Around the country, Republicans actually competed extremely well and matched the blue wave, but because of the nature of the fracturing on the Republican right, the conservative right, that did not happen here. So I really think 2018 is a bit of an anomaly. And most importantly, Tom, the bottom line is that Democrats have monopoly control of government, and they have a choice. They can choose their policy solutions, higher taxes, more debt, higher spending, or they can create compromise and choose some of the ideas that we've been advocating, such as slowing down the growth of spending, not raising taxes, regulatory reform that creates an opportunity for businesses to grow and prosper here. And if they choose those compromises, they'll be successful. If they take their monopoly power and go unilaterally with their own ideas, they're going to fail, and the conservative ideas will rise once again.
You know, when we saw the Republican showings, and it really didn't, whether you're talking about judgeships or a county office, you saw the Republicans' big winners downstate. And when you look at the map, was it 14 or 17 counties where Pritzker won?
I think it was 14, but I haven't counted those in a little while. Somewhere right in that range, though.
Right, somewhere right in that range. So you see a lot of red when you take a look at the state of Illinois, except for these pockets. Jackson County, I believe, Massac, I think. Then maybe St. Clair, and then, of course, Cook. I mean, you see these pockets. But the rest of the state, there's a lot of red going on out there. But, you know, one of the problems, and one of these problems really manifested between the Illinois Policy Institute and Governor Rauner, and you talked about the conservative movement, was that abortion bill seemed to be the proverbial straw that broke the camel's back.
Well, the Illinois Policy Institute itself does not get into that issue at all, and so we don't have a position on that. But certainly what the governor did by our position on that was any kind of expansion of taxpayer spending was a mistake, regardless of what the spending was going to be for when the state is on the verge of bankruptcy. But obviously a lot of people outside of the Institute who are engaged on this issue were very upset that he gave his word that he wouldn't do it, including to the Cardinal, and then he went ahead and did it. And I did personally talk a little bit about that. It wasn't so much the issue, although I have my own views on that. It was more that he had promised he would not do taxpayer funding of abortion. No governor had ever done that in the history of the country. The Democrats didn't do it when Governor Quinn was in office, and yet he did it. And he really, you know, kind of gave the shove off to social conservatives, and that's partly why his vote totals went down 5.5% between 2014 and 2018, and why the loss looked so big, because people stayed away, to be blunt about it.
Did the Republican candidates in this state during the time of Bruce Rauner become addicted to his money, his financial support, and what happens in its absence?
I think that's one of the real interesting and telling points, is that with the governor's vast wealth and his willingness to spend a good chunk of it on his own election and other elections, particularly in 2016, where he really helped out during the from the state's point of view, those midterms off year elections from a gubernatorial point of view, the people that need to raise money, the party chairman, and then the caucus leaders, they really have stopped raising money. And I think that is a real problem. And what's going to happen, I think, going forward for people involved in public policy and politics, and again, just a reminder to your listeners, the Illinois Policy Institute focuses only on the policy, but certainly talking about how politics works is always fun. What's going to be interesting to see is how do political leaders and nonprofit leaders like myself, how do we raise money successfully so that our ideas can compete with the monopoly control the Democrats have?
You know, there's always something that I watch in people, and that is whether you're smart enough to know when you've made a mistake. or said something that you correct. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to ask you this morning, because I think that's when you say, okay, we were wrong. This is we understand now. And you actually did this. The Illinois Policy Institute, 5 years after you were criticizing lawmakers for passing this pension bill, it was once called grossly inaccurate. And we got a quote here from you, John Tillman, CEO of the Illinois Policy Institute. It turns out it was pretty darn good. The admission that maybe it wasn't as we first thought.
You know, a little humble pie is not bad to eat now and then. It does keep us on the straight and narrow. And we decided to take a look at, you know, we look at all the decisions and all the recommendations we make all the time. But this is probably the biggest one where we really felt, okay, we oppose this. And we thought it was grossly inadequate to the moment of the crisis in 2013. And if the court had upheld it and it had become law, how would the world have played out? Well, the state would have had savings of about $1.1 to $1.6 billion. We'd be on track to having pensions fully funded by 2045. We would have saved by 2045 about $145 billion. So that wasn't enough. It needed to actually be bigger. And there are still some other problems with it that we would criticize. But the bottom line is it was a vast improvement over what has happened. And part of the reason we wanted to do that is I think that people like former Representative Elaine Neckritz and many others on the Democrat side and some on the Republican side deserve credit for that bipartisan solution. And you know, we believe in accountability for government, and we believe in accountability for ourselves, and we think it provides a roadmap and a lesson for Governor Pritzker, I should say Governor-elect Pritzker, and the Democrat majority. They should look to that bill as a possible roadmap to a solution going forward.
And you're wanting to present that to the Governor-elect, as you alluded to just a couple of moments ago, because access, you know, if we can get past, you know, saying you hate babies and kick puppies in this state and move on to the idea, the arena of ideas, and math, I think, is also involved here, if we can do a little math in Illinois, that you want to talk to J.B. Pritzker and say, look, we've got some ideas about the pension system and we can help. Have you ever heard any type of response, or at least saying, the door's open, we'll be waiting for you, or call my people or something?
We have not formally attempted to do that, and he is going through his transition challenges right now, but we are working with intermediaries to try to have a conversation with him and with Democrats and, frankly, with Republicans, as we always have. We've done a good job of working with both sides of the aisle in the General Assembly, and we actually had some success with Governor Quinn in the past. So we're very confident that Governor-elect Pritzker is going to be interested in it because, you know, when you get right down to it, Tom, most people don't live their lives thinking that they're Democrats or Republicans. Most people live their lives thinking they're moms and dads and brothers and sisters, and they want to go to work and build their business and contribute to their community, and they'd like to do it in a place where they have an opportunity for prosperity. And we'd all like Illinois to be that kind of place. And if the Democrats take those monopoly majorities and just shove solutions down the throats of the people of Illinois that they're unhappy with, that's not good for anybody. So I have an expectation that Governor-elect Pritzker will be very open-minded to hearing other ideas besides the ones coming out of the Democrat side.
I have the most difficult question of all for you today, John Tillman.
I'm ready.
CEO, how much is Illinois behind the eight ball financially? Now, and when I asked this question, it's the other day. There's a lot of intellectual dishonesty when we reference this and you read stories. All right, so we figure, I haven't looked today, but we'll say $6.7 billion unpaid bills.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a pension number. You know, but here's the thing. That six and a half, and I spoke with a state representative, I think it was the last week, saying, well, you know, yeah, we're doing much better. I said, but we had to borrow for that number to come down. $610 billion, I think we borrowed twice, actually, with lower interest rates. Oh, we got lower, but we still owe the money. Where does that go in a column? How broke are we? We figure $1.5 billion overspending this year. What's the sum total? Do you have any clue?
Well, I don't know what the grand total of the debt of the state is. I think in the pension debt's over $130-140 billion. There's another $40 or $50 billion in unfunded post-employment benefits. There's, I think, north of $25 or $30 billion in bond obligations. And then, of course, there's the past due bills that you're talking about as well. So it's a significant, probably the worst problem in the country. But the more important that is important to put on paper and start to think about. The more important question is, can it be fixed? And the answer is yes. The policy solutions to fix this are actually not all that difficult from a policy point of view. The difficulty is the political will to implement them, because what you have to do is make spending grow more slowly than revenues. And we haven't done that for 18 years. Every year for 18 years, spending has been growing faster than revenues. And you can't make spending grow more slowly than revenues, even with a tax hike if they're successful with that, which we will oppose. But even if they get it, spending will still grow faster unless they reform public employee compensation and particularly pensions. And that's why we're on this issue, and that's why we think this is where legislators and the governor-elect have to look.
And I talked to Ted Dabrowski earlier this week about the health care costs, as they're starting to stack up too.
Yeah, and Ted is, as you know, a former colleague of mine at the Institute and an expert on all of this, and he's done great work on that at Wire Points.
You know, I was thinking about something you said a couple of moments ago, the absence of Bruce Rauner's money. And saying, you know, that the committeemen maybe didn't have, or persons didn't have to do as much fundraising or whatever the case. But when you look at that gubernatorial map and you look at all the red counties, you'd think that they're predisposed at the very least on a widespread level, the voters are, to financially help the conservative movement if you look at that map alone.
Well, I spend a lot of my time raising money. I can tell you this. Donors want to invest in ideas and leadership they believe in. And if you muddle your message and you're inconsistent in leadership, they're not going to invest going forward. And so I think what everybody who's a conservative and believes in the state of Illinois has to do is fashion a succinct, coherent message that we're going to all work together, no matter where we might be on the spectrum, to unify with a simple idea. We want to help government live within its means. We want to rein in its out-of-control spending by reforming pensions. We want to give greater choice to parents about which schools their kids go to so they can get better educations. But most of all, we want to help every single person here reform their property taxes, because property taxes are the number one reason people are leaving the state, and those property taxes are driven largely in part by higher pension costs. And so we have to reform pensions to drive down property tax bills that will give people the feeling, I'm better off living here than moving over to Indiana. And that's what we all have to come together to do. And if we do that, and people quit sniping at one another, donors will reinvest in the cause.